Well, we want to meet with the Lord again tonight in His Word. Let's turn, please, to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 38 to 42. And we're considering the theme of one thing. You say, how can we live for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the theme of our camp, living for the Lord Jesus. Well, we need to learn the scriptural principles that will help us to defeat the enemy, to defeat the threefold enemy we face, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But in order to really live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we also need to learn to resolve these one things in our lives. And so we looked last night, didn't we, at David in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His temple. And we saw the need to have one consuming passion, to be close to the Saviour, to be near to Him, to behold the wonder of who He is. And then this morning we looked at the need for one pursuit. This one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. He said, I press towards the mark there for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So to live for Christ, we need that one pursuit, conformity to God. Well, tonight we now look at Mary's one thing, the one thing in Mary's life. And we see she had one priority. How can we live for the Lord Jesus? Well, we need to resolve to have one priority, communion with God. Communion with God. Luke 10, let's read verse 38 to 42. Please watch for the one thing and underline it if you have a pen. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but what? You there? But what? One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing, one priority. Mary, by God's grace, had that priority in her life. Let's pray. Father, we need your help tonight for this last message. We do thank you that your presence has been here with us as we've studied the Word of God this weekend. But Lord, we need your presence again tonight. We would be foolish as finite men to embark on a study of your Word without the help of your Spirit. And so, Lord, we come before you as needy people, Lord, as we've already been challenged tonight through the ministry and song, Lord, that we would not be neglectful of that one needful thing. And Lord, even as we read the passage tonight, we, all of us in this room, acknowledge our failures in this area. So often, Lord, we have chosen the many things over the one thing. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us tonight to adjust our priorities, Lord, to truly know what it is to seek after you, to be at your feet. Lord, we thank you for the access that you've given us into your presence, Lord. What a privilege to be able to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that as we come there, we find our great high priest waiting for us in that place to comfort us, to hear us. We thank you that in the Spirit we can sit at your feet, Lord, and we can speak to you. Most importantly, though, Lord, we can hear from thee. And so we pray that you'd help us tonight. Please be with the preacher. Give him, Lord, your words, empty him of self, Lord, and then for each of the hearers, Lord, that you would take the word of God and apply it to each individual need as only you can. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. One priority, one thing is needful. It seems that this particular family, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, occupied a special place in our Lord's earthly ministry. The village that he enters into there, we know from other scripture, is the village of Bethany, which was on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And it seems that this was a place of retreat for the Lord. It seems that this family occupied a special place in the heart of the Lord. But here we come to this well-known, reasonably well-known account of Mary and Martha and the instruction the Lord gives concerning our priorities and the need to spend time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tonight I'd like to just divide the text for you under three headings, which I trust will help us to understand the message for tonight. I want you to observe firstly in verse 39, Mary's devotion. Can you see Mary's devotion there in verse 39? And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Now, there was really two parts to Mary's devotion. She was a worshiper. She was a worshiper. She had that spirit of worship. She drew close to the Lord, didn't she, Mary? In fact, she seemed to have a real spirit of discernment to discern the opportunities as they presented themselves to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Mary was so close to the Lord and had taken time to listen to his words to the degree that she understood a lot more about the Lord's impending death than even the disciples who were close to the Lord. There is much to be learned, isn't there, at the feet of the Lord Jesus? And Mary was a worshiper. She had that spirit of worship, a heart that was sensitive to the Lord's leading. She was prepared to set aside the task in order to fellowship with him. It appears from our reading of the account here that she was initially involved with Martha in the preparation of whatever was going on there, most likely food and making arrangements for hospitality. But when the Lord came, she dropped all of those things and went to spend time with him. You know, this is important, isn't it? Are we prepared to set aside the task to fellowship with him? Do we discern at times the Lord's call to the place of fellowship? You know, there's an interesting illustration in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and it's a wonderful study to read the Song of Solomon in light of New Testament scripture and look at the relationship there between the bride and her bridegroom and understand the truths and the applications to Christ as our bridegroom and the church, which is his bride. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, we have the bridegroom approach his bride. He comes and he comes to the door there. And she, it's interesting to note her response, that she is apathetic towards him and she is filled with excuses. I've put off my coat. How can I put it on? And she misses the opportunity to spend time and fellowship with the bridegroom. And how often this is the case in our lives. Like Martha, we become so consumed with all the things there are to do that at times we do not discern the gentle pull and the gentle tug of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, will you come and fellowship with me? Will you come and sit at my feet? Will you come and hear of me? And yet we at times are like the excuse-filled bride. Mary was a worshiper at Jesus' feet. You know, it's interesting actually to consider the life of Mary in relation to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember later on in John 12:3, how Mary takes that pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anoints the feet of the Lord Jesus, wipes his feet with her hair. You know, the secret to Mary's life, I believe, was that she kept her head near his feet. That's the place of humility, isn't it? That's a humble position. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And those who will place themselves in that humble position at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ will learn of him. She was a worshiper. Devotion. Devotion to Christ. How we need devotion to Christ. She was also a learner. This is another aspect of her devotion, a learner. Because in verse 39 again, it says she heard his word. So there's the spirit of worship. She sits at his feet. But then she's also a learner. She's learning of Christ. And this posture was, in the ancient days, was the posture of a disciple or a learner. This is why Paul talked about the fact that he was schooled at the feet of Gamaliel. And so in deference and in honour of the teacher, the disciple at that time would sit at the feet of the instructor, at the feet of the master. And here we see Mary has an appetite to learn from the Lord, to hear his word. You know, we can sit, even though we can't sit literally at this time at the physical feet of the Lord Jesus, we can still sit and hear his word, can't we? We can still open the Word of God and be at his feet, and the Lord Jesus can be speaking to us. We can sit in a meeting like this and the Word of God can be preached, and if the Spirit of God is doing his work, ultimately it's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that is ministering to you through the Word of God as it is spoken. Let me ask you tonight, do you have a passion to hear and to learn from the Lord Jesus? Teachable spirit. How precious is the Word of Christ to us? How precious is the Word of God to us? Does it get any priority in our personal life? Does it get priority in our family life? Does the Word of God get priority in our church life? You know, too many Christians sit at the feet of Hollywood more than the feet of Jesus, don't they? Sit at the feet of some novelist. What's more valuable to you, reading some sappy, even Christian novel, or sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there are Christians today who are just, it's not just the movies, it's not just the TV, it's not just the digital media, but there are people in our churches that are hooked on sappy novels, on superficial things like that, and they sit at the feet and they fill their minds with trash rather than sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Mary's devotion. There's a little poem that reads, "Low at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. There I have learned sweet lessons, truth that has set me free." Mary's devotion. I want you to look secondly now at Martha's distress. Now, if we're honest tonight, I think most of us can identify more with Martha than with Mary. The Marthas are numerous, aren't they? The Marys seem to be rare. But Martha was cumbered about, here's the contrast in the word "but" there, "but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Martha's distress. There were two aspects to her distress here. There was distraction. Distraction. The word "cumbered" here means to be burdened down. It means to be pulled or dragged away, to be distracted, to be drawn about in different directions. Maybe you've heard the word used in this way. You say, I had to carry this object and it was cumbersome. It was difficult. It was awkward. So here we have Mary. She's being pulled about in all directions. She is becoming frazzled. She's harassed. And isn't it interesting that she was actually endeavoring to serve the Lord, but she'd become so wrapped up in her service and her activities that she'd actually lost sight of the Lord himself. Now, there is nothing wrong, brethren, with serving the Lord. And boy, we need to get back to the concept today of the working church. Not the CCM church, not the rock and roll church, but the serving church, the working church. I'm all for activity for the Lord and passionate service for the Lord. But may I just say that there's something wrong, though, when our service begins to cause us to lose sight of the Saviour. And this was the problem with Mary. She was beginning to serve the Lord in the strength of the natural man. There was too much self in her service. God help us today. Let's just be honest, there is way too much of self in our service. Something I've been praying of recent, saying, Lord, would you keep self out of my service for you? Amen. Lord, would the motives in my heart for serving you be produced by the workings of the Holy Spirit in me and not the impulses of the flesh life? Amen. You know, sometimes even our motives for serving the Lord are all wrong. And we need to say, Lord, would the motives in my heart for serving you be energized and produced by the Spirit of God? May I have pure motives for serving you and not the self-life that's constantly seeking to exert itself in my life. Distraction. Do you ever feel pulled about in all directions? It's hard, isn't it, at times, mothers? Constant busyness, and we understand that we have to deal with these things, but we need to have a spirit of discernment. And so you might, as a busy mum, you might come to a point in the day where the children are asleep, and there's always so much more to do, isn't there? Let's be honest. The mother's work is never done. And you might be faced with a choice. The Spirit of God says, you know, you really need to spend some more time reading the Word of God. The children are asleep. And you say, yes, but there's that pile of dishes over there. I need to serve my family. And there's a need, isn't there, to be discerning at times. Is it God's will now for me to go and to in the flesh just get all these jobs done? Or is it time to just trust the Lord with some of those jobs? Let them sit for a while and go and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. There's something we need to be aware of when it comes to service for the Lord, that the flesh life tends to run hot in an atmosphere of busyness. The self life begins to run hot. Now, this can even happen in a church when you're engaged in good ministry, godly ministry, and it's kind of like when you're exercising spiritual muscles, and at times there begins to be some pain and some, you know, and you're rubbing against each other, and you're busy at camp, you're busy in the kitchen, you're busy doing these various things, and sometimes we have to be careful in that environment of busyness that the flesh life does not begin to explode into spill out onto others. We've got to be careful in church ministries, in the domestic running of the church. Be real careful with church business meetings. It's amazing, isn't it, how it's something about the busy aspect of a church life that can bring both the best and the worst out in God's people. That church business meeting and that little thing that's really getting you stirred up, It's not your opportunity to vent your frustration and to vent your carnality. You might need to spend some time at the feet of the Lord Jesus before you come to that meeting. So we need to be careful. So there was distraction in the life of Martha. Cumbered about, pulled, dragged around in all directions. There was frustration. Can you see Martha's frustration there? Frustration. And this frustration was expressed to two people. Can you see her frustration at the Lord? Can you see her frustration at the Lord? And said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But here's the scene. You can almost picture it in your mind. You have Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's taken time. She's left the task. She's going to spend time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Martha's in the kitchen and something's boiling over on the stove and she's running all over the place and you can see the temperature rising. And she's looking over there at Mary and the Lord Jesus and the frustration's building and the anger's building and the flesh is running hot. And she comes in and bursts in on the Lord and says, Lord. Have you ever been frustrated at the Lord in your Christian service? It's amazing, isn't it? How in the very process of trying to serve the God we love, our Saviour, that we can actually become frustrated at the Lord. Lord, why is my day going this way? Lord, why aren't others helping me? And we explode on the Lord. Dost thou not care, she said. She was rude. She was abrupt in her words. You know, when there's internal tension and unrest, eventually that will lead to outward displays of fleshly anger and frustration. When we're not walking in the Spirit and when we're strained and stressed over the to-do list, we say, Lord, why is this happening? Why is my day not working out this way? Lord, I had everything planned. Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you didn't get the plan from Him. Or maybe you're not flexible enough to allow Him to adjust your plan as that day goes. Have you ever been frustrated at the Lord? I think Martha forgot who she was speaking to for a moment there. Lord, dost thou not care? She accused the Lord of not caring. It's amazing, isn't it, how sometimes the people who accuse others of being uncaring are often in the process of making that accusation rude themselves. I've observed some of the people that talk the most about the need for others to care are sometimes some of the rudest people and the nastiest people. Lobby about mercy and grace from the preacher, but absolutely won't even say a proper hello. Frustration at the Lord. Frustration at Mary. Can you see she was frustrated at Mary? Ultimately, she says there, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Do you see the me coming out in the verse there? See, Martha was too big in the picture, wasn't she? There's too much self in Martha's service. And you know, the heart cry of the sinner when you come to God for salvation is, Lord, save me from sin. But let me tell you tonight, as it relates to our Christian service, we need to get to the point where we say, Lord, would you save me from me? Amen. Lord, would you take self out of my service? Lord, would you empty me of me? Frustration at the Lord, frustration at Mary. You know, when you're serving the Lord in a carnal fashion, you will misunderstand and misrepresent the Spirit-filled Christian. She didn't understand Mary because she was serving in the strength of the self-life. She was not walking in the Spirit. You know, it's interesting that later on when Mary anoints the feet of Christ, you remember she attracted very strong criticism from the disciples as well, didn't she? These men, why was this waste of the ointment made? What a perspective. Men, you're supposed to be the Lord's disciples. It wasn't just Judas, by the way. Compare the gospel accounts. It seems that Judas was the primary instigator of the slanderous idea there. But the disciples caught on with the Spirit and they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? The news rattled around there. And just mark it down, dear Christian, if you're going to be sincere and fervent, that you just want to be sold out for the Lord and you just want to love the Lord and you want to walk with the Lord and you want to honor the Lord. Don't be surprised at times if that attracts vicious criticism from the Christian that's not walking with the Lord. You can get a lot of trouble, can't you, for simply trying to be close to the Lord Jesus. Who ever thought we'd see the day where we could hear from independent Bible-believing churches the accusation that just because we're passionate about purity and passionate about the Lord, that that's legalism? Who ever thought we'd see the day? We're not interested in legalism, but we are interested in the Lord. We're interested in pleasing the Lord. We're interested in following the Lord. Frustration. You know, when we serve in a wrong spirit, we hurt those closest to us, particularly with our tongues. Family life, that's where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? When the kids are at camp, they've lost the plot, and they're tired and screeching. I tell you, you know, I have a quiet smile to myself sometimes as single people talk about feeling fatigued. And I say, look, you really don't know fatigue until you have kids. You get up in the middle of the night to a screaming baby, then you will know fatigue. It tests the fabric of our spiritual walk, doesn't it? But when we're serving in the wrong spirit, when we're serving in the strength of the natural man and we're being consumed, pulled about in all directions, and our service is not being an outflow of our time at Jesus' feet, that's the key thing here, isn't it? It's not that there's anything wrong with service, but we're interested in the right kind of service, a service that comes from and is empowered by our walk with the Lord and our devotion to the Lord and our time at Jesus' feet. Let me ask you, does someone else's zeal and devotion for Christ frustrate you, annoy you? Do you feel niggly inside and irritated when you see someone who's just fervent for the Lord? Listen, rather than focusing on that individual you think's got the problem, maybe if you're feeling that way, that might be an indicator to you that you have the Martha spirit. That you're not where you should be. Martha's distress, frustration at the Lord, frustration at Mary. Now look, thirdly, at the Master's discourse. We have some profound instruction here, don't we? The Lord speaks into the situation, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. I wonder how the Lord said it, I don't know. There's something about hearing your name called twice, isn't there? Charlie, Charlie, Buddy, Buddy. Gets your attention, doesn't it? It's like the Lord's trying to snap her out of it. And isn't it like that at times in our Christian life? We're so consumed and we're so consumed with service that we think we're doing the right thing, and it's like the Lord says, would you just snap out of it? Thou art careful and troubled about many things. The Lord put his finger right on the problem, didn't he? The word careful there means anxious, worried. The word troubled was a common word for tumult. You say, what's a tumult? A tumult refers to a commotion or a disturbance, the sort of thing you would have in a multitude of people where there's the din and the dust and the noise. And this was what was going on inside Mary's heart and life, that she was noisy inside. Now we're instructed, aren't we, in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be careful for nothing. Not to be anxious as God's people. Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The lack of experience in our lives of the promise of those verses is due to our neglect of the first step. We don't take everything to the Lord. As the hymn writer says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So the Master's discourse. We see the Lord's words to Martha contain a profound insight. A profound insight. And that's what we've just looked at there. Careful trouble. The Lord diagnosed Mary's problem. Then we have a pointed instruction. A pointed instruction. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. If you have a pen, underline many things and then underline one thing. How many things are needful? One thing. One thing is necessary. That means all other things are negotiable. This one thing is not. But in practice, what do we do? In practice, we make this the one negotiable thing and the others all the essential things. We get the priority all wrong. You say, well, I'm just busy serving the Lord. If you're too busy serving the Lord that you can't spend time with the Lord, you are simply too busy. And we need today to get back to the power source behind our service. I'm not saying at all that we shouldn't work for the Lord and labor for the Lord. But what I'm saying is that God is interested in the power source behind our service. And service is not a substitute for worship. Service is not a substitute for devotion. We need to get at the feet of Christ and hear the word of Christ and get the power of Christ so that when we go to preach, when we go to soul win, when we go to teach that class, we go in the power of the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, our working for the Lord needs to be an outflow of our waiting on the Lord. Our going needs to be an outflow of our tarrying. That's interesting, isn't it? Look, compare the various accounts in the gospel of the Great Commission. Don't just go to one, go to all four gospels. and even the book of Acts chapter 1 and get the full picture of the Great Commission. And before the disciples would go, they were to tarry. You say, is there a contradiction? No. Both is necessary. There needs to be the tarrying in God's presence. There needs to be the praying. There needs to be the seeking of the Lord. And then comes the active side. The problem we have today is our churches very often are just a buzz with activity, but where's the devotion? Where's the prayer? Where's the seeking after God? And is it no wonder today that our churches are powerless? Because let me remind you tonight that Satan is more afraid of our praying than even our preaching. Satan fears more the Christian in the prayer closet than the Christian who's out there working in the strength of the self-life. You're no real threat to Satan until you get a hold of the feet of Christ and begin to pray and begin to seek his face and begin to get his power on your life, and then you serve in a new way. This is important for our personal life. How often do you hear senior men of God who've walked with God for years and they say it again and again, your walk with God, your daily devotion, your prayer time, it's the key, it's the key, it's the key. You've got to walk with God, you've got to walk with God. If I had my time over, I've heard older men say, I would have walked with God more, I would have prayed more. Listen, we need to get the one needful thing in focus. It's important for our family life. It's important for our church life. What emphasis do you have in your church on sitting at the feet of Christ? You say, well, we're endeavouring to go, we're endeavouring to soul win. I'm not saying that we should neglect those things, but I'm saying there needs to be times spent as a church in an extended way, sitting at the feet of Christ to get his power, to get his blessing, and to do warfare with the enemy in the place of prayer. Dr. R.A. Torrey has well said, it was a masterstroke of the devil when he got the church and the ministry so generally to lay aside the mighty weapon of prayer. He says the devil is perfectly willing that the church should multiply its organizations and its deftly contrived machinery for the conquest of the world for Christ if it will only give up praying. The devil is not afraid of machinery. He is only afraid of God. And a machinery without prayer is machinery without God. You know, we have a vivid illustration of that, don't we, in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17, 8 through 16, read it sometime, Israel's war with Amalek. And relying on your memory here, but you remember how Joshua went to fight with Amalek in the valley? That's the activity side of the Christian life, isn't it? There does have to be an active side to the Christian life. But we have then the intercession on the hill. Let me ask you tonight, where was the outcome of that battle decided? With the activity in the valley or the intercession on the hill? Answer. The intercession on the hill, the essential part is the intercession part. It's in the presence of God. That's where the battle for your church will be won or lost. And so before you come to teach that Sunday school class, you need to be in the presence of God. Before you come to preach, you need to be in the presence of God. We need to seek the Lord. Turn to Mark 3 for a moment. I want to just draw this principle out a little bit more. Mark 3, preaching a series through the Gospel of Mark at the moment, and as I was memorising this passage, I was struck again and again by the words here in verse 14 about the ordination of, or the selection of the 12 apostles. And he ordained 12, note please, that they should be what? With him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Do you see the order there? Before these men were to be sent out, before they were to go and preach for the Lord, they were to be with the Lord. Our problem is we want to rush out like Martha into the area of service. We want to get the activity done. But may I just remind you tonight that before you seek to preach for Christ, you need to be with Christ. Before you seek to teach that Sunday school class for Christ, you need to be with Christ. Before you seek to serve in your family, mothers, with those children, you need to be with Christ. They should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. That's the secret, isn't it? With Christ in the holiest of all, with Christ in the place of prayer. What a thing it is to really, have you ever felt grip in prayer? And you pray and you seek the Lord and you get a hold of the Lord. At times the point where you feel even an answer is received in the place of prayer, the prayer has been answered, God's going to do it, the victory's coming. God is going to work. Let me just say, as time goes on, more and more, I'm just seeing so vividly and so strongly that prayer is just so important in the Christian life and ministry at the feet of Christ. Who said that we don't see miracles today anymore? tell you what, you see a sinner pass from death unto life, that's a miracle. You see a sinner born of God into the family of God. You see a sinner wrenched out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. And you will see miracles like that when you spend the time in seeking God. Be with Him before you seek to serve Him. What's your first priority? The many things or the one thing? What comes first? Here's a challenging one. What gets the best of our time? Now, as I've said before, I understand in the will of God, there are things we have to do. It's God's will that we work. We're not to be idle. That's a part of God's will. Not every individual is called to full-time Christian service. There's a need to do those things. But when you have time available, what gets the best of your time? The one thing is needful. The many things, they're negotiable. So what's your priority? Do you have, like Mary, one priority, communion with God? It's convicting. It's challenging. The Master's discourse, a profound insight, pointed instruction. You know, it means that when it comes down to a choice between the many things or the one thing, we need to learn to choose the one thing, don't we? Other things can wait. May I say, even good ministry things at times may have to be put on hold. Now, I'm not trying to pit one truth against another. I understand truths balance each other. We're not saying that we should de-emphasize Christian service, but are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? You can be consumed with serving God to the point where you neglect the Savior Himself. A pointed instruction, a precious illustration, verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. The Lord uses Mary in His discourse to Martha here as an illustration. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose. There's a choice involved, isn't there? We have to choose. And we're confronted with that choice regularly. Listen, I'll be the first to confess, I failed in this area many times. And I get to the end, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Today, I just got caught up with the task list. I didn't spend the time with You. I should have. Lord, forgive me for neglecting You. Isn't it amazing, really, when you think about it, that the God of the universe actually wants to fellowship with me? The Father, remember the Lord Jesus' words to the woman of Samaria there, that they that worship the Lord there to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amazing words, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Isn't it amazing? And isn't the Lord Jesus worthy? Is He not worthy of our love and our passion and our devotion? After all, He cleansed us, He washed us, He purged us, He saved us. He's worthy. If He wants our time, if He wants our attention and our love and our affection, that's the least we can do is say, Lord, all I am, I am for Thee. It's interesting, the Lord's language to Martha here, because I understand the word when He talks about the good part. This is a phrase, a kitchen phrase, a culinary phrase. It refers to the choice bit of the kitchen or the table. Here's Mary trying to probably get food prepared, and the Lord says, takes that imagery and uses it to teach Martha an important lesson, that it's more important to taste of the Lord and to select that good part. This is the choice part, rather than all these other things. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, spiritual priorities reap lasting rewards, don't they? It wouldn't be taken away from her. And time spent with the Lord is never wasted time. It's never wasted time. You know, we come to the Lord at times, don't we, in prayer? As I said the other night, or yesterday I think it was, feel dry sometimes as a chip. It's a struggle. It's difficult. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But I guarantee you, if you'll take the time to pray by faith, just accepting that you're in the presence of God and reading His word, I guarantee you'll go away from that time strengthened in the inner man. You'll sense the joy deeper than the feelings and the emotions even. There's a sustaining power that's going to be operating in your life, living for Christ. Pastor, how do I live for the Lord Jesus? What's that verse again? And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Well, it starts here with getting our one priority in place. May God give us this spirit of the one thing. One passion, one priority, one pursuit. Christ.
Christ-likeness, time with the Lord.
Let's bow for prayer.